Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Acton, and with me today is Jack Borman from Locked On Sports Minnesota. Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying the off season, enjoying some time off from Wolves basketball for better or for worse. How about you? Been up to anything?
Definitely for better. I think especially with seasons going a little longer, which is obviously great. It's definitely fun to unplug and get behind the links for a little bit of more extended period of time now here with them, hopefully making another finals run. So
it's absolutely true. Enjoying the Lynx basketball, despising Twins baseball. Fun time.
The summer in Minnesota, baby.
Yep. All right. So I'm going to set up what we plan to do here for this pod. I want to preface this. I pitched you this idea before game two in Las Vegas. And since then, multiple podcasts have done a variation of this idea, which is fine, but I just want to put it on the record that I'm not copying anyone. Like the week after Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo did like this version of this pod, and Dane has done two similar ideas since then as well. So,
and it was on me for pushing it back, as long as we did. So blame me.
Well, I don't know about that, but what we're going to do, basically, we're going to draft all 30 teams in order of basically how we think they will perform next 5 years in terms of potential championships, playoff series wins, regular season wins, and then maybe just a little bit of like fan morale in the sense of like if you were going to rank all the teams, well, like Dallas last year wasn't the worst team in the NBA. For this ranking, they'd be pretty much, at least pre-lottery, would be pretty much last. Not necessarily, again, they weren't the last team in the NBA, but like the fan morale is just toast. And like on the flip side, the Wolves, not this last season, but 2 years ago, would rank pretty much at the top, besides obviously Boston wins the title, just because like it was such a euphoric. So like it's not just like pure wins and losses. There is like a, it's kind of
how
what
fun
you
would
value.
It be to be a fan of that team type of thing?
Yeah.
It's kind of how
exactly.
I thought about some of these.
And obviously, winning basketball is what makes it most fun, but there are some side elements. I mentioned the Twins as they trade their second most fun player, Duran. But we're gonna draft all 30 teams. Probably spend more times on the really good teams and maybe a little bit extra time on the really bad teams because that's fun. But I offered Jack the selection of the first pick. We're gonna go snake draft, so I'll take the first pick. Jack love 2 and 3, L 4, 5, so on and so forth. But I offered Jack either side of it, and you deferred to me because you basically said, I don't want to pick Oklahoma City, which is...
Wow, throwing me under the bus here. That's crazy.
Yep, because...
That's crazy. Texts aren't private.
I leaked it, but it's also an admission from you that the Thunder are the top pick here. As much as you don't like them, and I kind of share in your feelings of, I don't even know what it is. Like, they won the title. They have the most assets. They're the top pick for this, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah, no comment on any of that. I'm just going to get right into it with my second pick. I don't know if this
fun.
Is where things...
It gets more fun after the first pick.
I don't know if this is where we start to deviate a little bit, but I'm going to go San Antonio, number two.
I knew you were high on them.
I just think that when you think, so how I kind of approach this too is evaluating draft picks. So looked up how many draft picks each team has through the 2029 draft. So right, it's the next mm-hmm. 5 seasons. So that only includes the next 4 drafts since the 2025 draft has already happened. So I gave every team, like pick points essentially, where it was 3 points for a first round pick, 1 point for a second round pick, as a way to kind of balance, you know, some teams, like Brooklyn have 10 second round picks and 7 first round picks. Whereas, you know, a team like San Antonio, you know, has, only 4 first round picks and 10 second round picks. So try to, you know, balance some of the scales there. Not only do they have, you know, are they, you know, like top 7 in point picks here or pick points, but I just think the way that they've built around Wemby is like, they haven't rushed it at all, but I think I like the idea of getting Fox to try to make a playoff push last year. Obviously the blood clot issue with Wemby was a huge bummer, so we didn't get to really see them together last year, but then you bring in another top 5 pick in Dylan Harper. You also have Stephon Castle. And then I really like both Devin Vassell and Carter Bryant. I think Carter Bryant's going to be awesome for them on the wing, especially if his jump shot continues to develop. And then, they've also got some tradable assets, right? And Keldon Johnson and potentially Devin Vassell and then future firsts, could get you a maybe more substantial scorer on the wing than either Vassell or Castle or Johnson. And then Johnson, they'll have more space to play with in 2027, which is a loaded free agency class, with Johnson coming off the books then. So I just think they're in a really, really good position. I think morale is going to be awesome because, you know, Victor Wembanyama is just like so much, objectively so much fun to watch, and being able to watch him for, you know, however many nights a year and see the Spurs kind of have a blank slate with, you know, some super athletic guards that can do a lot of different things around him is very fun. So I went with them second. And then here is where I think kind of all hell breaks loose in terms of, I think the first two are pretty cut above everyone else, in my opinion. And then with the 3 spot is where it gets kind of hairy, I think, in that, you know, there's a bunch of different directions you could go in, but I chose to go with the Rockets at number 3 here. The reason for that is because in the, you know, pick points, you know, the Rockets have twice as many pick points as the Timberwolves do. They have the right to swap with Brooklyn in 27. They're getting a first round pick from Phoenix in 27. They own their own first round picks in 28 and 29. And then they also have the best of Dallas and Phoenix in 2029. So, you know, they have a decent amount of good picks coming up too. And then, I mean, Kevin Durant, Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr., Fred VanVleet, Tari Eason, Reed Shepard is just like a really good crew. And then they've got 2 second round picks in 26 and 27 to try to bring in, you know, some cheaper contracts to kind of fill out the back end of that. They're not really in the danger of going over the second apron in 27 or 28, depending on what KD's extension is going to be. I'd imagine Fred VanVleet continues to re-sign there on the cheap. And then, you know, the Amen Thompson and potential Reed Shepard extensions are staggered. And Houston obviously is a desirable location. It's going to be a Vetman hotspot. So I think the path to them being having more success than the Timberwolves in the next 5 years is probably higher, especially as Amen Thompson continues to develop. And I just think it's a more desirable location than Minnesota objectively in the eyes of NBA players. And then you also throw into it that there's no state income tax in Houston or in Texas is also a big draw. So those are my first two picks.
Yeah, I don't have huge disagreements. I thought like the first tier is kind of Oklahoma City by itself. And then I had 5 teams in this like next tier where I think you could have selected any of them. I had San Antonio 4th and Houston 6th. We'll get to the next 3 teams. I think the difference for me, just the next 2 teams I'm going to take here, why I took them is just kind of top, who is their best player on their team? And how close are they or where are they like right now? I valued a little bit more. So in terms of San Antonio, I agree with everything. They're in just a great spot. But like for this year, well, I think they should make the playoffs. We'll see if that's through the plan or if they're able to get that top 6. But they don't have at least for this one season, they don't have championship upside. And so that's 20% of our sample, at least for the championship, that they're not going to be available for. And then I agree that they will be able to fill out the roster around Wemby really easily if Giannis becomes available, or maybe when Giannis becomes available, they'll be at the top of that list to go and get him. And they have Fox, and they have a lot of stuff. It's just like the other two teams I just like a little bit better in terms of next season, like which is ready to win a title. Even if they're just question marks that I believe they'll fix, or not even they'll fill out. And then with Houston, I did my biggest question with them is who is their best player? And if on this theoretical title team, who is the best player on that team? And to me, if and when they win a title, their best player is not on their roster yet. And so for me, that downgrades them just a slot or two, that I don't think that player is on that roster right now. And you
laid
out
spicy take out of the gate.
Who is the best player on a theoretical title Houston team on this roster?
I think Amen Thompson was outrageous in the playoffs. He was so good, and he can't shoot. If he develops any semblance of a jumper, that guy is going to be insane. And
yeah,
Kevin Durant still averaged 27-7-6 last year, or whatever it was.
The difference.
He's still so good, dude.
The difference on these top teams are so high. You said if all that one word is enough for me to just slide them down just a hair.
Okay, I guess maybe it's more fair once I hear who your team is here. Yeah.
So my next team. So this is the fourth pick, Denver Nuggets. They got out of salary cap hell. They have the best player in the world. Jokic is one of the 10 greatest players ever already. He's won 3 MVPs. Easily could have. He's finished top 2 in the last 5 MVPs. I think they are in. They don't have the Christian Braun extension is going to be tough, but they've just been so bad at everything else. And I think their front office had done a very poor job these last couple of years, really ever since Tim left. And Tim didn't even make great moves.
Outside of taking Christian Braun, yep, and then flipping Will Barton. It was Will Barton and one other player, I think, and Monte Morris for KCP. Two, yep, moves that were huge parts of them winning the title.
Yeah, but Aaron Gordon was probably the biggest swing in that, and that was a Tim Connelly move. But
for
I
sure.
believe the MPJ signing was a Tim Connelly move. And
that was Tim Connelly move forced by Josh Kroenke.
Okay, fair enough.
Forced him to do it a year early.
Yeah, so I just think I'm shooting for now upside, and they have the second best title odds. Houston has better title odds than them on DraftKings? No way. No way. I'd pick Denver in a heartbeat this season. And they are in, they don't have picks. They don't have anything else, so they're stuck with this team. I just think they're going to, you just don't, to win with Jokic, you just need so little around him. And I just think they did enough this offseason to kind of carve out enough space for that. And this is the next 5 years. I don't buy that he's going to leave in the next 5 years, to go play with his horses or whatever. But
did you see him react to his horse winning a race the other day?
Yeah, and if the Twins won the World Series, I would
do that. Way more about just being a dude than he does about playing NBA basketball.
I get it. And that didn't prevent him from winning the 23 title. So I'm going with the Nuggets. Next one. This one might be, I just got to do it. I'm going with the Lakers, and this is kind of flips my other pick on the head, and it's not because I like this team, and I think their offseason this year has been, I don't even know what they're doing. They're waiting out LeBron because they're building out this team. I just think Luka fell, everything falls into their lap. Luka Doncic is on the Los Angeles Lakers, and it's hard for me to imagine that the Los Angeles Lakers with Luka Doncic are not going to win a championship. And they have new ownership. That is, to me, a good thing. They're the Dodger people. They're going to spend on not salary cap necessarily, but all the other stuff they're going to outspend people on. It's just Luka and the Lakers, and they don't have any other bad contracts on the books. So they're going to have cap space, not in either an off season or two. It's a future play. It's not this season. I don't know why they didn't sign. Ayton is the answer to their center issues. I don't see that. So it's not in a year or two.
It's a great deal on the contract you got from the Lakers.
Sure, but I'm just like,
considering who they were trotting out last year.
Eaton on a – oh, it's an upgrade on who they were starting last year. I just don't think it for solves sure. the main issues of their team, and they lost – she went to Houston. I'm blank. Was on Brooklyn. Oh,
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Thank you. They lost him, and like that was their biggest thing in the Minnesota series is they didn't have depth, and I don't – they've – like for as many rotation guys as they've lost, they've added. Like they're pushed – they're still thin. So it's about future years for me and just –
I still love JJ playing one lineup the whole game. that was awesome. Yeah, just for some context, so I have like an entire spreadsheet of all this stuff in front of me with a bunch of information because I thought this was kind of a good exercise for me to just kind of get ready for the next season, post this off season. So I went a little nuts with it, but I think Lakers 18th in my rankings.
Really?
So, and I had Denver 9th. So some pretty big discrepancies here. I will say that I probably looked more at like how fun would it be to be a fan of that team than you did. But I guess with the Lakers, when I'm thinking about it, like they for sure need to let Rui Hachimura, like everything for them is just to play for 2027 free agency.
Yeah.
Like just for some context, like some people that are just like guys that could most likely will be free agents in 2027 if they reach free agency. Steph, Giannis, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Kat, Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Kyrie, Rudy Gobert, Jalen Green, Michael Porter Jr., Julius Randle, Jrue Holiday, Jordan Poole, Tyler Hero, Cam Johnson, Kyle Kuzma, Dylan Brooks, Malik Monk. So, like, it's a pretty darn good free agent class that they're playing with. So, you know, if Giannis or if Giannis decides that, you know, maybe he wants to come to L.A., I know the Clippers are going to be playing hard for that. Maybe Donovan Mitchell leaves Cleveland, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's another guy that, you know, pops up or something like that. But, I just think so much of it is dependent upon that. And I just think free agency nowadays is just like not really existent. So I'm a little hesitant to believe that like, it's just gonna work out, but that's just kind of what happens for the Lakers.
And I'm not, cause just kind of works out. Like it just kind of works out.
And they've only got. They have two first round picks over the next four drafts, no second round picks. So, and they don't really have any big chips that they can cash in for picks. Like, I don't think a team's going to be trading
unless they want to trade a bunch of
stuff for LeBron. So, yeah. So, all right, I'm going to keep going down my board here. Mm-hmm. I have not adjusted my board. Like, Ryan has seen this board all day, so I don't know if that's, you know, but it clearly hasn't swayed.
I didn't read into your board as like the order of it, actually. I didn't. Realized okay. that was your
and this was like kind of rough. I didn't like obsess over it. It's just kind of like, you know, somewhat vibes. But all right, number, what is this, pick number six?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with the Timberwolves at number six.
That's where I have them too.
You know, the Timberwolves are not the, you know, in terms of like their pick situation, it's not terrible. Like they have their own pick in this upcoming draft. They have two second round picks in the 2026 draft. And compared to some other teams that are super pot committed, like they've got more picks, no, more pick points, I guess. So more draft capital than Cleveland, than Denver, than the Lakers, than the Warriors, than the Bucks, the Clippers, you know, some teams that are in a similar tier. But yeah, I think for the Wolves, the argument is just like they're a legitimate title contender if, you know, McDaniel, you know, even two of like McDaniels and Shannon and Dillingham take like a significant jump from where they were to where they're going to be. And I think all those guys are going to be asked to play bigger roles this upcoming season. I think there's a better chance that we see a Julius Randle closer to the version we got in the playoffs for the majority of next season than the one we saw in the first half of the season, just because of continuity. The trade stuff was a legitimate question mark. I think he started to play a lot better after the trade deadline. I don't know that was a coincidence. But they also need Nasri to be a lot more capable on both ends of the floor now that he's got this contract. And I thought that was a really good deal for Nasri. I'm not saying it was a bad move by the Wolves at all. It's awesome. Nas totally, you know, earned it. I just thought it was a little rich for my blood. But again, like, Cult Hero was so important to this Timberwolves team all season long, can fill in at the four or the five depending on who's injured. So there's a lot of value there.
And there was that was his market. He would have gotten that somewhere else too. So that's how it goes, I guess.
Potentially, yeah. Not going to be a second apron team in the foreseeable future. Like, first apron for sure. I think Jalen Clark takes Conley's money in 26, 27. He'll probably refill Clark's money with a first-round pick in 26 or 2 second-round picks next year. So I think that this team is in a really good spot compared to some of the other a little bit more pot-committed teams that have been near the top of the Western Conference the last few years. So, yeah, and then obviously haven't really mentioned Anthony Edwards, but yeah, that guy's pretty darn important too. And I think when you've got a surefire number one superstar that has proven he can do it in the playoffs against any and everybody, has that type of personality, everybody loves him, super important, coaching staff in a great spot, front office super stable, new ownership obviously is going to be a huge thing, no question about it. So I've got that. I had them fourth. So I thought that you could have taken Houston, Minnesota, or San Antonio kind of in any order depending on how you like it. I think they were kind of in the same tier for me, with Orlando and then Dallas as well, potentially. So, yeah, that's what I've got. I have the Timberwolves at six. At seven, I'm going to go with the Magic. I think there, you know, there's a lot of question marks with the Magic around, you know, how is Suggs, Bane, Wagner, and Paolo going to fit? Like, Suggs has really got to be a good shooter, and Wagner and Paolo also have to improve his shooters. Don't really have a like surefire point guard between Anthony Black, Tyus Jones. Jace Richardson's a little bit more of a combo guard, but so that's going to be interesting to see. They're going to be a second apron team in 26, 27, and 27, 28 for sure. Their top five guys in terms of cap money are all on the books through 2029, and then, you know, they're kind of their best three players in Wagner, Suggs, and Paolo are on the books, you know, signed through 2030. So I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they build around the team. But I'm a big fan of, you know, teams that are like not necessarily in desirable locations, just kind of saying like, screw it, like, let's go for it. I kind of view the Bane trade as like very similar to the Rudy Gobert trade. And then it's like, we have this window here, let's try to capitalize on it. And we've got guys that we can, you know, get out of it and build around. If this first iteration doesn't, you know, yield a title or something super close to it. But to get all those guys super meaningful playoff experience, I think is great. I think it'd be a lot of fun to be a Magic fan, considering that they've had some tough years. They've honestly hit on a lot of different guys. If you go back and like look at who they've drafted in the first round, hit on a lot of different guys, but just teams have kind of washed out with different trades and guys wanting out and coaches getting fired and different things like that. But I think they're going to be fun. They've got, for my, in my opinion, they have them and the Cavaliers. Both of those teams have no excuse not to win the East. Yep. I think if I'm both of those teams, I'm saying I'm better than the Knicks. I don't know if they are, but, you know, given their moves and their salary cap situations, like, they've got to think that. So I think it would be kind of fun to watch the kind of those three teams at the top of the East battle it out. So yeah, Minnesota at six and Orlando at seven.
Yeah, got no disagreement with the Wolves. You have a top five player in the NBA and a solid roster around him. I don't care about the picks. You have tradable contracts pretty much all over the place to make. Probably they need one more, some sort of big move to vault you into like true title contender status. But in the meantime, you have an extremely solid team that has the ceiling of probably West Finals still. And yeah, they're in a really good spot. The Magic, I slightly disagree. I 1000% agree on like the fan morale. Like it's going to be a fun, for the first time in since Shaq was on the team, it's going to be, that's not true. They made the finals with Dwight. So maybe since that era, it's going to be fun to be a Magic fan for the next 5 years. They're going to be a solid team for a while. I had them down a few slots only because I don't see the championship upside. And maybe that's overrated. And maybe what I'm overrating there is something that was true 10 years ago where you need 10 up until, maybe it's still true. I'm not sure. I'm really like, this is like a big existential thing with the NBA with me. Do you need one of the 50 greatest players in the NBA to win a championship? Because from 1980 till now, that has been 1000% true. And you really needed like one of the upper echelon Hall of Famers to win. And if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't tear his Achilles, do they win that game seven? We'll never know. And that's why that injury stinks to high hell. But like Tyrese Halliburton, as much as I love him, I don't think like he's not in that upper echelon Hall of Famer level. Maybe he will be. Or maybe he was pre-Achilles. I don't know.
But I think that injury also shows why I don't think you do need one.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Is
so
that
so many of the titles that you've seen over the last, really the last decade plus, have massive injury implications linked to them. And if mm-hmm. and I think part of it is just like being a team that's at the door. And if you can keep knocking on the door, there are always going to be injuries. And if an injury breaks your way and your team can stay healthy, who knows?
Yeah. Maybe I'm underrating Paolo. Like, I just wish their best player was a little bit better.
Totally agree. I have no qualms with that. I also feel that way about Paolo and about my Michigan man, Franz Wagner, but yeah, no argument there.
Yeah. And honestly, like the next like 6 to 8 teams on my list, like I don't have, if you put any of these teams in these next picks, I wouldn't have huge problems with you. And like, it's going to get like a lot of these teams to me upcoming are like, they're good. They either have like a premier prospect or they have a solid team, but might not be quite good enough. My next team that I'm going to pick with 8 doesn't quite fit that, but the Cleveland Cavaliers, you already mentioned them. No excuse to not win the East. To me, I think Vegas had the Knicks maybe since they fired Tibbs that kind of went down, but the Cavs are the favorite in the East. I think you want, like, when they got eliminated from the playoffs, I think we all kind of went, ooh, what the heck was that? And then you keep watching Indiana. It's like, okay, maybe that made a bit more sense then. It wasn't like the Wolves were against Dallas where it was like, the Boston series was just kind of like, well, what were the Wolves doing in that series? This Cavs thing was the opposite, where it was like, eh, okay, that makes a lot more sense. Indiana was like just really, really damn good. And while it's not a good sign that they lost to them, it's you see how it happened. It wasn't like this, like they should, like maybe there's thoughts of we need to make some sort of big trade. And Cleveland, I think now will just write the course. My only worry is like, again, and it's just kind of lame. And it's like with the NFL where it's like pretty much every conversation comes down to, well, how good is your quarterback? And so I don't want to do that, but like, They neither need like Mitchell to play a little bit better or be healthier. I'm not quite in love with their backcourt with Garland and Mitchell. You'd always like to see a little bit more offense from Mobley, but like they're favorites to win the East, and we can't like not pick them. And so if they were in the West, I think they would probably be a few spots lower. But like the East is just so shallow, and especially this year will be an outlier. And Boston and Indiana will be back in some way, shape, or form the following season. But like, to me, it's just like they have such good title odds this year. I can't let them fall too much further. And they're set up to win, even if kind of similar to the Wolves. I kind of do think they're like a move away, maybe that's unfair to them. This next one's tough for me.
Yeah, I had Cleveland. I had Cleveland 8th. You took them at 8. So, like, that's totally fine with me. I just think with Mitchell, I feel like Mitchell's probably going to try to get out of there before they totally crash out. And they're shopping Garland. I just don't know that the vibes are all the way there.
I don't disagree. I just think, like, they're favorites to win the East, and I can't let them fall further than 8.
They're super deep, too.
The next team, I should probably just go. I'll play gamesmanship because I believe the team that's actually next on my list will get there. We'll come back around. I'll go the Knicks, pretty much for the same reason I picked Boston. Them, Orlando and Cleveland are like just, they have such good Eastern like finals odds because of the weak East. I wanted them to fire Tibbs. And then when they made the hire they did, or when they tried to hire everyone else's coach, I was like, okay,
that was
not
crazy.
That.
I forgot about
and
that.
And honestly, I actually came off the Tibbs thing. When they beat Boston, I came off it just because like, I thought he coached well in that series and they beat the at the time, the title favorite. So like similar to all these teams, the Knicks are one move away. If Giannis becomes available, they're going to go after that hard, you'd imagine. I don't love their current team with Kat playing a lot of center But again, similar to New York or similar to Cleveland, they just have too good of finals odds for me to let them pass. And a little bit similar to the Lakers, I do like the market. I just think is gonna that this whatever figurative move that I'm thinking of, I just think will come easier to them than it will other teams in other markets.
Gotcha. I don't know if you're sniping my draft board here, but
no, I was not looking at your draft board. I just know you what you think of this franchise. How about that?
All right. I'm gonna get a little frisky here. I'm gonna deviate from what I had.
Sure.
Little gamesmanship back. What is this? Number 10. I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Nets, and you might be saying like, what's going on here? What's Jack thinking here? Let me just cook for a second. So the Nets have 7 first round picks in the next 4 years. They have their own in 26, the Knicks in 27. Houston can swap in 27 if they want. They have Philly's 1 through 8 protected in 28, and they get another pick that's the worst of Dallas, Phoenix, Brooklyn in 29. Then they have 10 second round picks. So they're just going to be able to take a ton of swings on guys. They're full on tank mode. They have no stars, but they're in a great spot if they want to, you know, try to trade for a star that becomes available. And Michael Porter Jr. comes off the books the summer of 27. So I think for me, this is more a bet on the fact that, like, I do not think it will take the Nets very long to, like, become a very respectable team again. And by the time that they'll rise up and, like, you know, 27, 28 and have, you know, 27, 28, 28, 29, 29, 30, the last 3 years. So I'm thinking of those last 3 years, like they'll be pretty frisky in the East just because, you know, by then, like Orlando will probably still be a very strong team. But I think by then Cleveland is kind of starting to be down and out. The Knicks may start to be somewhat down and out depending on, you know, what happens with Kat as he ages with his knee and, you know, is OG going to want to stay there? What are they going to do with Mikal Bridges? Like, they just have a lot more question marks in terms of, like, what's going to happen with their current core. And then in terms of, like, Indiana, like, they could get there. It's not, like, super hard to imagine them getting there. The Hawks, it's not super hard to imagine them getting there either. But I just think, like, it's going to – if I'm a Nets fan, like, yeah, you would have rather them done a few things maybe a little differently in the draft this year. But, like – they've got no bad money past 27. And I think that it'll be pretty easy to convince a star or two to want to come and play. And if, you know, they don't do it in free agency, they have plenty of ammo to do it outside of the bounds of free agency, which is important. So I'm going to go with Brooklyn at number 7. And then I'm going to go with a team that I think is going to be very fun to watch this year. Even if, it kind of is just going to be hard to, like, watch every night if you're a Wizards fan. But I'm going to go with the Wizards here at number 11. The reason for that, very similar to the Nets in that 7 first-round picks. We could get a little dicey if they finish outside the top 6 in the draft odds this year because their own 26 pick is going to the Knicks if it is outside the top 6. So that could get a little dicey, but
that's this next draft.
They have 12.
Okay. So we're losing basketball games again this year.
Yep. So they have 12 second round picks the next 4 drafts. They have no stars, but like if you're able to plug a star in there, I think you have like a really fun nucleus around them when you consider, you know, the way that they've drafted, you know, this year and in previous years as well. I think like Corey Kispert's a guy that's really good to have around the stars. Alex Saar, Bilal Coulibaly, Bob Carrington is going to be so much fun. Cam Whitmore was a good swing. Will Riley's a good, you know, guy that can be on the margins on the wing for them. AJ Johnson too showed some flashes towards the end of last season and so did Kyshawn George. So I think you put all those two guys together, maybe you can get Marvin Bagley re-signed on the cheap. We know that he started to play a lot better, you know, the second half of last season. And then, you know, they'll have Middleton and McCollum coming off the books after this coming season. So I just think like they have no real bad contracts. They're going to maybe be able to, you know, take a bad contract or two if they want. But we'll still have, you know, some tradable pieces and legitimate assets that they can cash in to get a star. And also have plenty of young guys left over, kind of what the Spurs have done. Honestly, the only difference between them and the Spurs is that, you know, you haven't found your Victor Wembanyama, which is a huge, you know, a pretty big difference. But yeah. At the end of the day, like the infrastructure is there where if a star got in there for them to be good pretty quick. And I just like a lot of the young pieces they have. And I think just like watching Trey Johnson on League Pass this year is going to be really fun. And like if either him or Bob Carrington can become like a really, really good lead guard, it's going to be a really fun team the back half of this decade if they can get some star power. So maybe not the most conventional, pick strategy for me, but just a couple of teams that I think are going to be fun the back at the last 3 years, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah, I had a trouble. I did have these teams lower, like in the bottom half, 19 and 20 for me, and I just had a hard time ranking like the. These like they're just so different. Like if we're talking about Houston versus Minnesota, like those are two teams that are on the same general path, right? And if you're talking about Washington and Brooklyn, these are two teams that are on the same general path. I had a hard time ranking these type of teams that you just picked and like teams that are going to be somewhat to pretty good this season, but like very clearly, like you're like, where is this like the championship equity is just not there. Or like they're going to be solid, but it just seems like it's going to fall apart. Or like they were a mess last year. They made good offseason moves this year. We'll see how it turns out. But like they're obviously going to win more games in the short term compared to your teams. I did have a hard time like ranking them. And I eventually just kind of put them lower than some of these other teams that will just end up winning more games in the short term. But I see your logic. I guess I disagreed. But although... My next pick, I will take the team I'm going to take Boston. I know you're punting on this year. Like, they're not going to be good. They're going to miss the playoffs. They're going to... Luka Garza starting at center? Maybe not. Or, like, Luka Garza is going to play a lot of minutes. Like, this year's a wash. I think you're going to get Tatum back. You have Brown and you have White. You have the hard parts of the roster figured out. And the Tatum injury allowed them to tank basically this year and really tank under the did they get under the luxury tax? I should look it up. They certainly got under the aprons, but
yeah, they did.
I kind of think
they're under the aprons. Yeah, for sure. I'll look up if they're under
the tax altogether. But the Tatum injury, obviously terrible for them, but like for their ownership, it gives them an easy out because I kind of think
they're over the tax by $18 million.
Okay, so they're in their tax, but. The aprons are what they were looking to get out of. And certainly like their repeater number when they were in that second apron was going to be huge. I kind of think their ownership group was going to make these cuts regardless. And they kind of got an out because like no one can disagree. No one is. I haven't heard anyone be like, why the Celtics salary dumping? I think it makes sense. What they were trying to
do. And they could still, they could still dump Simons, Hauser and or Niang. Yeah. I mean, there's a clear path to them getting under the tax if they want to.
Yep. And they'll probably just go like, we'll look at their first 30 games. And it's like, if we're 500 or above, well, we can make the playoffs. The East is weak. Maybe we win a series, blah, blah, blah. And if they go, 30 games, if they're 10 and 20, then it's just like, okay, we can eject. I just think you have those top three guys and they're good. They have more flexibility to build back up and have, you're going to have those fun teams back. At the back end, you have a first team. My thing was like, I don't want these first team all NBA caliber guys to slip too far down this board was kind of my thought on Boston.
I just think the rest of their roster sucks.
It does. I just don't care.
And I don't really foresee, and there's not really a path to them like beefing it up super easily. They really got to do well in the draft and hope that they can get a vet man or two or three, but I'm somewhat bearish on the Celtics.
I get it. I just, you have Jason Tatum in the Eastern Conference and I'm not the biggest Jason Tatum guy, but he's obviously like a first team all caliber player. He's one of the 5 to 10 best players in the NBA or whatever. Like you have Brown, you have White. Like I kind of prioritize, you have the hard parts done. And
those
yeah,
three guys are going to be 75% of the cap.
Yeah, it's not great. And I guess my next pick. Yeah, I'm just going to do it. It's the same. I don't even need to go back over the reason. It's the Pacers. I'm not even going to give an explanation. Just enter the Celtics stuff in there. They made I just love Halliburton. I love that team. They lose Turner. Don't care. he was pretty bad down the stretch of that season. They're going to punt this year. My conspiracy theory is that, and I don't actually think it's true, but it's a fun one, is that, so they got their pick back like during the finals, but after Halliburton had injured his hamstring?
Calf.
His calf?
His calf. He had a calf strain.
And I think that this is not a conspiracy. I think this may have been reported that they knew there was an increased chance of what happened was going to happen. But you're a game or two away from winning the title. You got, what else are we doing here? Go for it. But maybe it was just luck that they traded for this pick and now they're going to have somewhat of a tanking year. But I kind of feel like they might have known. And if like we can get this back and give ourselves like a safety net, I don't know. Maybe that's just
totally.
Like it was just a weird trade, a weird timing. They made it during the finals, and now they have this pick back. They can bottom out this year, and the pieces that made their team special this last year will be back in a season. They're gonna be really good again. They have giant question marks, specifically their point guard that just tore his Achilles. But similar to Boston, I just like they just made the finals. And I'm only punting one of the seasons. But I get if someone is going to say that what they did was unsustainable and is going to take Halliburton more than a full season to get back to whatever, or maybe they just never get back that whatever magic they had. But I love what Halliburton was able to do in the playoffs so much that I'm just going to take the Pacers.
Yeah, that's totally fair. You know, I think like they've got all their own picks. They've got some second round picks they can play with. I also think Jay Huff is going to be like a pretty decent Miles Turner facsimile. And I don't think the drop off.
Turner was so bad in the finals. Ugh.
I don't think the drop off between those two is going to like equal the financial 2K rating difference.
Or yeah, like if you look at their 2K ratings, Turner's going to be much higher. But like, yeah.
And it's like, look, by 26, 27, if like, Mathurin, Walker, Shepard, and or you know Wiseman, any you know group of those guys make a jump to become like more significant or better rotation guys, more at the level of like an Andrew Nembhard, I think this team's still going to be awesome for the rest of the decade, considering that they've got Halliburton and Siakam locked up long term. So yeah. I love that pick. I probably should have the Pacers a little higher than I did. I'm 17th, but yeah, I probably should have had him closer to like 11 or 12. All right,
we can probably speed up these middle picks a little bit. I think it starts to get less interesting until we get to the dog water at the bottom.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm gonna go Dallas here. Mm-hmm. I just think that the short term upside for them is kind of where it is just like really good. Like Kyrie obviously has to come back healthy. But he's a freak athlete. AD?
If they don't win the lottery, I would have put him 30th, and I'm not kidding. Only for
that's still
pure
crazy
fan morale reasons. I think that Luka trade is
that's cool. Fair.
They get somewhat bailed out, and I think their team is flawed enough this season that it's. I did have them basically. I have one team left between Dallas and this pick, but. Yeah, the Luka trade is just such a disaster, but they get bailed out because now they have a solid enough team and like and clear future upside. So I agree with your pick.
Totally. I mean, Kyrie, Flagg, Clay, AD, Lively. It's pretty good starting five, and then off the bench you have D'Lo, Max Christie, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Nashi Marshall. You've just got some different options. So I like that team a lot. Second apron in 26-27, depending on the Washington extension number, if that happens. So and they've still got four first-round picks over the next four drafts. So not as bad as it could be. All right. After that.
It gets dicey. Right.
I'm going to go Portland. I'm going to go Portland here. Sure. At pick number 15. I had them 12th on my board. I'm so in on Johnson Yang. I think what they're doing, you know, I love the Bill conspiracy bill. Did they get Johnson to drive up the value of the franchise in, you know, with all the Chinese fanfare that'll be coming in, eyeballs. before selling it. I loved that. How good they are the next couple of years is going to depend a lot on like Drew and Dame. But Scoot, Sharp, Denny, Kamara, Klingon, Hansen, like you've got really good young guys at each position. Like the Drew and Grant contracts are horrible. They're both off the books in 29, but like you could maybe move off those guys and you've still got 4 firsts, 8 seconds over the next, 4 drafts. And then you kind of have it staggered. Like Denny Avdia has got a descending contract, Shaden Sharp, Kamara, new deals this year, Scoot in 26, Klingon in 27. So I kind of like the staggered nature of all that. I just think they're going to be fun to watch. And I think the NBA needs teams that like are interesting for people like you and me to tune into on any given night. And Dame in Portland was like my kind of go-to like league pass team when I was in college and like, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And they might come back to that if he comes back healthy. I think it's just going to be a fun team to watch.
Yeah. And similar to your, I had them a touch lower and similar to like we already talked about with your Nets and Wizards picks. I did have Portland above those two teams. Just like almost for the fun factor. If Dame doesn't come back, I probably slide them down. I think like it's fun to have like Dame is special to that city. It's either him and Walton is the greatest Trailblazers ever. Walton's only like a peak season. If you're going like longevity of career, it's Dame by a mile. So I did have them a few picks lower just because they're just not going to be very good. Or good enough this season, but I they're in a good spot in terms of long-term assets, all that good stuff. My next pick, I'm going with the Pistons. Just kind of picking Eastern Conference teams that are solid enough this year, just because like it's not that hard to see. Like if the Pistons were in the East, it'd just be like, how is this team making the finals? There's 1,000 teams that are so good in this conference. Whereas in the East, it's just like I don't know if the Cavs aren't good for whatever reason. Now it's like. Can the Pistons make the finals? I think they have a good solid squad. They're not in cap hell yet. I don't know. I just kind of think they're in a better, they're a solid team that's not in a bad future spot. So I'll go with them. 17th pick. This one might be a little off the wall. I'm going with the Clippers. Pretty much we talked about it earlier. They cleared their books, their future books. They have this giant cap space. But I think what summer of 2027, everyone like they're clearly shooting for that. And in the short term, they've built a solid enough team that should they're a win. Oh, Vegas over under for wins is probably 5th in the West. They should make the playoffs again. It's hard to see how they make like a West Finals. Can they win a playoff series at their 5th and they're not going to be favored, but like you could see them making a second round. They got in the short term, it's just like Harden is still too big of a part of this team to really trust them in any meaningful way. Kawhi kind of falls into that for his health. But I'm just picking the Clippers basically for that free agency upside that they're going to be able to get. They're going to be able to build a team like a superstar team or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like everyone's saying like, oh, the Lakers are a better destination than the Clippers. Like the Clippers unquestionably have better facilities. Like it is unbelievable what they've done.
That might not be the case in a few years with the Dodgers owners coming in, but I agree with what you're saying.
They don't have as much money as Steve Ballmer. True. So yeah, I gotta go. I love that.
That thing looks awesome.
I know. I was really hoping the Clips would make the Western Conference Finals so we could go back to LA. But
blame Harden on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer because they were so good and so fun to watch the regular season.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just like every season with them, with this core ends.
It sucks because
exactly
this
like
was
that.
Like such a great opportunity for my guy Jim Harden to right his wrongs. But all right, I'm going to go with the Hawks, 18th pick. I had them 13th on my board. I think this is just a sneaky good roster. They've got 5 first round picks. Obviously we all know about the better of Milwaukee and New Orleans next year, unprotected. That could be a top 5 pick easily. And then they've also got a couple of their own picks here, 8 seconds. So plenty of way, or excuse me, 2 seconds. So not much there, but I just Trey Dyson, Jalen Johnson, Zachary Richesha, Okongwu, Nah, Asa Newell, You know, if they bring Porzingis back on like a cheaper deal, kind of like what we've seen a lot of guys that are kind of in his age range do, you know, come down from the $30 million ish to like high teens or 20, I think would be fun. I think they've got to pay Trey less than the max. I just don't think, you know, kind of like Harden, like just is not going to be a guy that is going to be super easy for you to build around if he's on a max contract. So, you know, but this is a team that's like pretty set in how they are. Like, unless they trade one of Na and Okongwu plus Jalen Johnson, it's just going to be hard for them to get any other trade there. But again, it's the East, so kind of more fun. This is kind of where it starts to get tough for me. I'm gonna go with Charlotte here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm struggling to find teams at this point. Like, there's a fun like bottom five or six, and it's just like, I don't know. With Charlotte, we don't have to keep. It's the same. I agree. It's not a bad pick, but for the same reason as the Nets, Blazers, and I just have them slightly lower.
The con heads are gonna be loving it. I think, you know, I really like the Ball, Sexton, Con, Miller group. Like, Neely's fine. They definitely need more depth inside, but I liked what they got from Mark Williams. You'll get Miles Bridges off in 27. Williams will be off in 27. LaMelo's under contract through 29. So it'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, how they continue to build around that, build around their team. I mean, Josh Green and Grant Williams is like, whatever, don't really care. But I just think they're in a good spot, and they finally have like I think this is like the best nucleus they've had around LaMelo for sure, in terms of how it's going to go moving forward. So, and look, 7 first round picks. Next 4 drafts, nothing to sneeze at either. So
in terms of your ordering of like these teams that were pretty bad last year, Portland, I've agreed with your ordering of them, where Charlotte is below the teams we talked about. And then eventually we'll get to Utah, who is below Charlotte. I agree with your ordering there.
I think of all the tanking teams, like they are definitely in the worst spot.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Utah, just like for me, it's just like, are you gonna try ever? We're theoretically doing this 5 years, and I just have no confidence that Utah's ever gonna put together a good team.
Totally agree.
That's why, even if they have more picks or whatever than anyone else, it's just like, it's not gonna be fun to be a fan of their team for a while.
And they don't in the next 5 years.
Yeah. So. We're on the same page there. Here's where we talked. You're kind of sliding up those tanking teams that are in a good pick spot. Here's where I kind of start to pick the teams that, again, I'm not really confident in any of these picks anymore. Like, I'm going to go to the Warriors just because they're the best on-court team left. They'll be fun in the sense of they're not going to, the rest of Steph's career isn't going to be like Kobe's was, where it's just like on bad team after bad team. You're going to have solid enough teams. I think the Wolves still beat that team pretty handily if Steph doesn't get hurt, but I don't blame Warriors fans that they feel differently. That's fine.
I feel differently with the way they played in Golden State.
Who? Oh, you feel differently than me or?
Than you. I don't think they would have beaten them handily. I think they would have won, but I think it would have been a really close series because they played awfully in Golden State.
That's fair. Not handily. I am confident the Wolves still would have won in 6 or 7 games. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. My point would be like, I kind of flip that. I'm like, what I saw from Jimmy and Draymond does not give me confidence that the Warriors would have won that series. But you go watch game one and Steph was awesome. So
offensively, for sure. I thought defensively, Draymond was still pretty darn good, except when Julius just decided to little boy him. But
that would have been my thing. Is like, if Julius was not going to play Draymond, the Wolves were always going to win that series. Would be my opinion. And if, and this again, the stinky part about injuries is we don't get to know. And all, like, the Wolves won the 4 games where Steph was out. That's all they had the opportunity to do. Next. Ugh. I'm gonna go Memphis.
Okay. All right. You had them 20. You took them 21st. I had them 22nd. So that was almost a
match. We're running out of, like, for this pod, fun teams. Because, like, there's fun teams. Again, there's fun teams at the bottom for bad reasons. And these are just seems like they got Ja. He's a solid enough player. Maybe he can kind of reach that upside pre-social media crap if he can get back there. Triple J is a solid enough player.
That's
they got
one
some...
way to put it.
We don't need to relitigate the gun off. It frustrates me that, like, he never, him and his dad, like, never took ownership of, like, hey, yeah, like, you can feel like we got overpunished or whatever, but, like, they never just went, yeah, my bad. It was always,
I'm
going
to start throwing grenades in the crowd instead.
Yeah. what he did, to me, it's like, on court, what he did, not great. Not good. But, like, it's just, like, where are you at mentally? Why can't you just, like, why are you playing the victim here? That's what frustrates me, and maybe that just doesn't matter. But they got some picks back for Bane. That cord run its course, and I don't know, they got some good players.
I like that trade for both teams. I mean, I loved the Coward pick for them. I loved the combo of Ja and Coward. I mean, the path to being in on them is, like, JJ Jackson and Jalen Wells both, like, make legit jumps next year, and JJJ, like, stays healthy, but he's already going to miss the first, you know, 30 games of the season. And they paid him more for absolutely no reason. I didn't understand the renegotiation thing. Like, was he going to ask out? If he asks out, okay, fine. Like, would have been fine to kind of then reset and pivot. But, like, $94 million for two guys who can't stay healthy. And then $21 million in both 26 and 27, assuming KCP picks up his player option. Like, no thanks. Don't love that as your three highest paid guys. All right. I'm going to go. The board is kind of ugly, but I've got as many. I took about the even amount of notes as on every team because I didn't really know how this was going to shake out. So, yeah. Number 19, I've got the Heat at 19.
Yep.
So the Heat have all three of their first round pick. You know, they have three of their own first round picks. They're like a high floor, low ceiling team here. Like, I don't think Bam, Hero, and Powell is going past the second round, but, like, I think Bam is significantly overpaid, but, like, it would not surprise me at all if LeBron, it would not surprise me at all if LeBron James is on this team before the end of the season. Like, Wiggins and Rozier could probably get you pretty darn close. I love the triumvirate of deals they have for Davion Mitchell, Nikola Jovic, and Kellel Ware. I think those three guys are all, you know, I really like their fit there in Miami. I was very pro Jovic that year he came out, and the Wolves ended up taking, what was it, Wendell Moore and Walker Kessler. I just think that team's, you know, is a really solid team. And then, you know, I liked Jakachonis. I think, you know, Jaime Jaquez still could be something that's halfway decent, and I just think Spo is still, like, one of the best two or three coaches in the league. So I think they'll be a playoff team every year.
They have some of that falling. They have some of that superstar falling into their lap equity that, like, not as much.
They
as
definitely
the Lakers,
do.
But, like, you mentioned with LeBron,
they're going to miss the Hawks in that play-in game, though. I think Miami will be there. I don't think Atlanta will be. All right, I'll take. This is,
yeah, it's ugly.
All right, I'm gonna say kind of screw it because I want to talk about this team for just the sake of fun. This team is probably gonna be a team that I spend. I'm probably gonna watch as many of their games as I can outside of the Timberwolves, just because I think it's gonna be comedy and cinema every night they play. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans here. I had them 24th on my board, taking them at the 23 spot. Like, Zion, Jordan Poole, DeJounte Murray, Jeremiah Fears, and Derek Queen. That team is going to be so fun to watch.
This is a league pass rankings pick.
It is. But, like, you know what? We got to... You know, we got to have some fun in here. And then you also have, like, Trey Murphy on random night could give you, like, 35 points. Herb Jones could get dangerous. I also really like the Sadiq Bey pickup for them in that I think he was part of that trade with the Wizards. So, and then you've just got like Jose Alvarado still in the mix, Eve Misi still in the mix. So I don't know. I think this team is still like pretty darn talented. Like if everyone was healthy on this team, I would not be surprised at all if they made the playoffs. Just because they have talent that, like, if it all fits together and works and like everybody's kind of bought in, I could see the path, but like, there's just so many bad contracts on this team and there's just like only going to be able to make like big money for big money mm-hmm. trades without, you know, very many first round picks. Like they're sending their 26th first to either Atlanta or Milwaukee.
It's so bad.
Although they do get the better of their own pick or Milwaukee's pick in 27. So like if Giannis leaves after this year and the Bucks are like awful in 26, 27, that's a good pick. Like that could be a, so who knows? I think there's a pathway to like New Orleans being this low looking kind of ridiculous, but I'm going to love watching their games and it's going to be Zion and Poole. If there's a night where they're both just absolutely cooking with gas and then you have Fears coming off the bench. It's going to be fun, like January, February team to watch, I think.
Yep. I agreed with you. Heat at 22. Pelicans, I had them a bit lower just because I think they're extremely poorly run. And so I agree with you that there's a path. They have enough talent on the roster to kind of be better than
what we
picked them at. But I just have no faith that they're going to reach that. The over-under on them being in New Orleans in 5 years is, I'm not sure that that's
also
the case.
True.
Not that if we're doing fan rankings, then that's 30. Because like,
especially with like these new leagues potentially becoming a thing. Who's running the team factors in for me starting at about like this range.
Yeah. So Pelicans a little bit lower, not 30 for me, but yeah, I just think they're poorly run. Okay, 24, good gracious, this is rough. I'm gonna go Utah just because they're not a dumpster fire and this, like, they have a bunch of picks and I don't really even want to talk about them further. We already said it, like, it's just the tanking is shameless and to the point of their new Nepo baby hire comes out and is like, yeah, we're gonna play our guys this year. And then they trade all their guys. It's like, which everyone saw coming. Everyone was like, yeah, we know what you're doing. That just means you're gonna trade everyone. And I guess they still have marketing.
When was the last?
Go ahead.
When was the last time Danny Ainge made a good trade for them?
When they got marketing, I guess. Or, I mean, the Mitchell and Gobert trades are fine.
Both of them stink. What have they gotten? They haven't gotten anything from those guys.
Sure. I mean, I'll fight as a Wolves fan. We'll fight for the Gobert side of that all day. But yeah, it's the only reason I'm picking them is because we only have six teams left. That's pretty much it. And they have a bunch of picks. That's literally it. They're not going to be good for a long time. And that stinks for the fans who of a franchise that has been fairly good for a long time. They've had pretty much last 20, 30 years, they've had solid teams more often than not. Obviously, in the 90s, they were making the finals. And then the Gobert-Mitchell years, they were a good team. Now is where it gets dicey. It's already getting dicey. I'm going to go, and I think you have them lower than this. I'm going to go Philly, and I hate it. Just because maybe there's this upside that Embiid, I don't know how to finish that sentence, to be honest. It's Zach Lowe said this a bunch of times.
Isn't completely cooked?
Yeah. Zach Lowe says this on his pod a bunch of times, especially watching these three guys tear their Achilles in this last playoffs. It's just hard to imagine Embiid playing multiple rounds like this, 3-4 rounds to make some sort of finals run. But I don't, it's just rough. They don't have really, I mean, it all goes back to like the Ben Simmons of it all. They traded him too late. They traded him a season too late. If they had traded them the year before the quote unquote pass, which honestly, my hot take about the pass I'm talking about, the Ben Simmons pass, is if Matisse Thybulle just hits two free throws, no one talks about that thing. Or if Matisse Thybulle just grabs the ball and lays it in like a solid NBA player does, no one's talking about that Ben Simmons pass.
And they won the Ben Simmons trade.
Yeah, that's true. Season prior, they could have gotten, like, he was an All-NBA
for sure
caliber player. And they just, ever since then, they've kind of been fighting uphill. And it's, the assets have kind of trickled out the door ever since. They probably should have gotten better, like, they probably should have gotten better value for Harden, although that was just that whole mess. That was a mess. I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe it's not even as much that, like, you can, like, Embiid's going to have this season that drags them to his first conference finals, as Kat has made both conference finals now in the past few years, which is just amazing for that rivalry. It's like maybe he can recoup value. You can trade him and, like, get some sort of value back. But we're just reaching the bottom of the barrel. And I guess Tyrese Maxey is good enough to keep them out of the bottom five for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, Maxey, Edgecombe, McCain is great, but then, like, you also have Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry on your team. Like, why?
Yep.
I mean, PG and Embiid might be might be two of the worst contracts in the league, two of the five. I mean, it's just bleak. So I had them 29th.
Obviously the first X teams were the point of this pod, but these last five, and maybe Philly these last six, this is also the reason for this pod, because it's just...
Correct. I don't know. I don't know. I've had fun just with the whole shebang here.
It was really... I'll give you some time. It was really for, like, because when the Wolves kind of ran back a team that probably wasn't good enough, my point was, like, they actually ended up going lower than I thought, was, like, the Wolves have, like, one of the best situations in the NBA, and can we just, like...
Totally.
Recontextualize that they, you, whether they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, like, they're in a really good spot. So let's talk about someone who's in a bad spot.
Oh, boy. All right. I get two of these picks. All right. I'll give you one halfway interesting team and one disaster. So I'm going to go with the Bulls here. At 26, I had them 23rd. That might have been a little generous. I hate this team.
Yep.
I really do. They do have 5 first-round picks the next 4 drafts. They have 2 this upcoming year. They have a lottery-protected first coming from Portland. Basically, they just need Matas Buzelis and Noah Essanay to hit on the wing. And if both those guys hit, I mean, I liked what I saw from Buzelis the second half of last season. They need to get a real center. Both Vooch and Zach Collins are abysmal on defense. I think if they traded, like, Patrick Williams, Kevin Herter, and picks for, like, another piece, I think that would be fine. But they're in just such a brutal spot because of how poorly they managed the DeRozan and LaVine situation, which I thought was, again, just kind of hilarious the way that they ended up on the same team again together. I think this is a team where... You know, Jerry Reinsdorf just, you know, is selling out of the White Sox. I don't know if he's going to end up selling out of the Bulls, just because, you know, again, like, it is kind of crazy, like, what this franchise used to be and now what this franchise is seen as by, you know, people that are, you know, our age and kind of more in the Kobe LeBron generation than, you know, the MJ generation. But again, like, if someone wants to, I could very well see a player in 2027 free agency being like, let's try to go, like, restore glory to the Bulls and figure some stuff out. So again, they only have 4 contracts on the books in 27. I think that's, you know, that's not counting a potential Giddy signing this summer, still a restricted free agent, or a Kobe White extension. So, you know, they've got some pieces. It's just a matter of, like, how you build around them. They're definitely gonna need some more shooting, spacing, and some rim protection. But again, like, not having awful contracts is, like, a good place to start, regardless of what your pick situation is. Yeah. Like, you can kind of become a dumping ground, get some picks, kind of take that Nets path.
And similar to New Orleans for me, is I'm just not confident they're well run enough or even at all
totally
to dig totally out of fair. That. And I have them in the same spot you do here. And it's not just the front office, and you mentioned it's Reinsdorf. My biggest takeaway from The Last Dance is Jerry Reinsdorf. What the heck are you doing? And watching him just blow the White Sox to smithereens is another, like, I just,
Yep.
And we haven't hit Sacramento. Like, ownership is important. And I just, as a White Sox hater, maybe I'll crap on Reinsdorf some more. Just because I don't know what their path, like, what happened? What do you do? They've just been stuck in the middle for basically since Rose tore his ACL. It's been a slow trickle. Like, all the assets they had basically post Jimmy maybe is a better spot.
And any other team in the league would have fired Karnisovas.
Yep.
Within the last handful of years. So yeah, they're kind of crazy. That, you know, that they just haven't been able to do anything with, you know, being such a potentially being such a desirable brand and franchise.
Yeah.
For guys that grew up in the kind of MJ era. So yeah, this team is not the highest team left on my board, but I want to just talk about how awful this team is just from the way that I think it's constructed. So I'm going to take the Toronto Raptors at the 27th pick. I had them as the 27th team on my board. They have four picks in the next four drafts. They have their own pick in each draft. Four second round picks. So pick situation, honestly, not bad. But this team stinks, and they're a first apron team. They're over the first apron, and this team is awful. They have no spacing. They have no stars. Just I wrote one word after that was just yuck. They have four god-awful contracts. I think all four of these deals are absolutely terrible at the top of their cap sheet. Scotty Barnes is on a max contract. Brandon Ingram is on essentially a max contract. A deal that Rich Paul, this summer, his agent, basically admitted he wouldn't have come anywhere close to if he hit free agency this year, which is why they engineered a trade to the Raptors last season. Honestly, good for them. Emmanuel Quickley, $32.5 million without really ever proving anything in New York. Kind of nuts. As just like a guy that is worth that amount of money. Like, look, I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. But I think he should get paid much closer to like what Nikhil Alexander-Walker is getting paid than, you know, what Naz Reid or Julius Randle are getting paid. And then you have RJ Barrett, 27.7 this year, 29.6 next year. And then you could also argue, like, why is Jakob Poeltl making $39 million over the next 2 years is also one. Like, I think that contract is fine, but when you throw it on top of everything else is just awful. And then I think, you know, like Agbaji is fine. He's a good player. I really like the Murray Boyles pick, just like in terms of value and best player available mentality, but like not super high on Grady Dick, not super high on like any other, you know, like prized young draft pick that they have coming up. You know, my scramble partner from some golf outings that we've had with some De La Salle guys, my guy Jameson Battle, loved it. He's on a full NBA contract. So I hate bagging on the Raptors when he's on the squad, because that's my guy. But yeah, I mean, I just don't think there's like a path to them being really good at all in the next, really this decade. I would be shocked if they like made any type of noise in the playoffs. And I just don't know how you make sense of what they have in their roster, just because I think when you look at all of those guys, like outside of RJ Barrett, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent in 27, all those guys are under contract through 28. Like Brandon Ingram is going to for sure take that $42 million player option in 27-28.
Yeah, so, no disagreement on the Raptors. Basically, since Kawhi left and they won the title, I don't understand what they're doing. I guess they had a solid team those first couple of years. They had to play in Tampa that 1 year. Totally understand why that season bellied up on them. And then they can't just trade everyone at that point. And they just traded guys too late. They traded OG too late. They didn't get enough for Siakam. I agree with you. I would have picked the Raptors here too. But yeah, just yuck. Okay, pick number 28. We got three teams left. It's rough. I'm going to go the Bucks just because they still have Giannis, and that's it. The other two teams left are Sacramento and Phoenix. I just think they can get a lot for Giannis. And they still, I mean, is there a path for them making the finals this year, even if it's unlikely? Yeah, it's there. It's unlikely, but you have Giannis in a crappy conference. You have the best player in the conference, right? Yeah, healthy player in the conference. Like, so I don't love their team. I think the Dame stretch and wave thing is an abomination. That felt like malpractice.
$22.5 million that they cannot use.
To me, that move makes more sense
every year for the next 5 years.
That move makes more sense. Like, if you're going to trade Giannis, where you're just like, yeah, I don't know.
I agree completely.
I just, and like, if to me, if Portland gave him that money, wouldn't some team have? He's making too much money. You can't trade him. Yeah,
yeah, that's part of the reason why. I mean, I respect John Horst for doing it. He's kind of put his nuts on the table a few different times with the Dame trade also. Like, I didn't love that, but I respected him swinging for it to try to keep Giannis. And, like, you know that, like, you're not going to have a job once Giannis is out of there, so you might as well just keep swinging. So I love the mentality, but I have them dead last. And I probably shouldn't have had them dead last because, you know, you probably could get some decent stuff for Giannis. But at the same time, like, if Giannis does ask out, like, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent in 27. So it's not like a team that, unless he's willing to re-sign, like, it could be a situation where it's kind of like KD, where it's, okay, I can't give up all that much because I don't know with a bullet that he's going to stay.
Yeah, and I actually didn't have a problem with them not, assuming, like, Giannis didn't ask for a trade or said, I want to stay, some version of that. I feel fine with them running it out there this year, because like you, for the reason that they're last, their chances of winning a title and having success in this one next season are greater than the next half decade, so you might as well go for it. Maybe there's some miracle that 1% chance they have of winning the title, 0.5% chance of winning the title is better than whatever they're going to get. And if
totally
Giannis, and if Giannis isn't asking for a trade, you can't trade him. Like, it's you just got to ride it out, and everything else is a sunk cost.
And I mean, at least they haven't sullied their books with like super bad contracts. I mean, I don't love the Portis deal they did. I mean, Kuzma, obviously. I mean, we don't need to talk about Kuzma.
Yeah, the Middleton.
I don't love the Turner deal, but it's not prohibitive. But outside of that, I mean, it's Kevin Porter Jr., Ryan Rollins, Gary Trent, Gary Harris, TP, Jericho Sims. Like, all those guys have player options beyond 1 year beyond this season, except for Rollins, who's 27, 28. So they have no real long-term bad money, but they also don't have any, like, I don't want to say like prize isn't necessarily the right word, but like blue chip prospects or guys that, you know, could be a really big part of this team in a post Giannis era. So I think that's also a huge kind of detriment to the Bucks front office. They've just been terrible drafting, and that's tough.
Yeah. It's rough there, and it's unfortunate. But they got their title, and I don't know, like, it's always a fun sports debate is always like, basically, would you rather have the Bucks? Let's grab that title year, and then these next years of futility that we believe they're barreling towards, or would you rather have, like, from our childhood, the Twins, where they made the playoffs every single year but never win? For baseball, I would always take the Twins because it's just like you want the day in and day out. Basketball and the NFL are a little different. Do you want the title? And certainly Minnesota men's sports, we haven't had a title since 91. So that plays into it too. So they got their title. They have had an incredible run. They've been good for a good half decade here with Giannis. They'll be a solid enough team. They'll make the playoffs in the top six because their conference is weak and just having Giannis is good enough. And again, maybe something crazy happens and they're in the finals, but that seems unlikely. But I mean, they have their odds to win the title are +4,000. That's way better than the other two teams. So I guess that's my pick, but I'm not willing to defend it any further. And now we are down to the Kings and the Suns, which were my last two, which I guess I play a role in that because I picked the last team. I don't know. It's a coin flip to me. I'm going to go Sacramento, and I'm not really willing. What's happened to them basically since the Beam team year has been just crazy. We already talked about ownership. This is probably the worst ownership situation in the league. the only, and maybe I should pick Phoenix just because for the same reason I picked the Bucks, because they have Devin Booker and you can try to get something for Devin Booker. So I don't even know why I'm picking the Kings. I just need to put Phoenix last because I didn't think the Suns did very well with the Kevin Durant trade. Maybe that was all they could do. I'm surprised they didn't. Like, the Wolves had a better package waiting. They just knew that Kevin Durant was never going to change his mind about wanting to come to Minnesota, so that the Wolves were never going to actually offer the better deal than what Phoenix got. I'm going to put Phoenix last. I'm going to put the Kings 29th, and if you disagree with that order, I have no rebuttal.
Yeah, I had Phoenix 28th.
Who is 29?
Philly was 29, because I think, like, Embiid, that contract could end up being like twice the dead cap essentially of Dame, which is crazy. If Embiid is just going to be a complete nothing and his career is just shot. Having the Suns last is totally fine. I mean, Beal, $19 million a year of dead money for 29, 30 every year is just crazy. So I think they might just become a team where, you know, a player tries to rehab their career. Like, if he becomes a free agent and takes like a vet minimum. So maybe they become a spot where they have vet minimum or guys kind of in like what Bradley Beal's making right now, like the biennial exception or like the taxpayer mid-level type money, to just kind of allow guys to cook for a year and then go. And maybe that's their path to maintaining some sort of relevancy and making sure that, Devin Booker at least is okay staying there. I mean, obviously he just signed that extension, which is a pretty big, vote of confidence from him. But look, I mean, they have talent. Like, I could see Jalen Green playing better and having a more consistent role. I think Dylan Brooks and Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal is like fine on the wing. I hope they play Ryan Dunn quite a bit. And then, you know, I like their front court with Mark Williams and Kaman Malawach. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you know, they've got four picks the next four drafts. So it's not like, you know, they're completely shot. It's just they can't really tank because they don't really have control over all of their first round picks, which is a bummer. So that's why I think, you know, for them, they're just going to have to be really good in the draft. And they're going to have to be able to be a team that can take on some, whether it's, you know, be a team kind of at the trade deadline where a team's like trying to duck the tax and dump like a $6-8 million contract, and then just take guys on these short term flyers, kind of like the Bucks are doing around Giannis with just having a horrible cap situation. So, I think the Suns will be a team that definitely missed the playoffs this coming season, but after that, I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of able to retool it a little bit and make a somewhat competitive roster that is at least in the play-in conversation for years to come. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they made the play-in either, just because like I could see a path where Booker is great, Jalen Green takes a step up, and then you know, you kind of get what you expect from Brooks, Allen, O'Neal. Mark Williams is a good year. Maybe Malawach plays really well. Ryan Dunn takes a step forward. So like the path is there for them to make something happen in terms of, you know, vying their way to the play-in. I mean, the West is just so deep and they're just kind of screwed with the dead money.
I don't see how they make the play-in, unfortunately, but yeah, I get it.
I'm just saying like there could be an injury or two that, I mean, I feel like in the West, like you just have to go look at like the Western Conference standings from last year and just kind of go down the line of like, you know, I could see the Kings dropping out and them going in. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an injury to someone on the Grizzlies if Ja's out.
There probably will be an injury just to someone just because one out of 15 will have something happen. Unfortunate.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think it also just depends too on how big of a jump Portland or San Antonio can make. But
it's hard to see how Phoenix is going to outpace the Spurs. That seems it's hard
for
to
sure on. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, even last year Portland was like sneaking up on the Suns even when the Suns had Durant. So if you have the Suns over the Kings, which you don't, so it's just like, I guess the reason I had the Kings is like they have their picks At least more of them than Phoenix. And so if they want to bottom out, and they probably should bottom out, they have stuff. But it's just like every team above these last six, at least like you, like they have some sort of like, oh, we're doing this. We got this going. We have picks. We got Dame back. We got, and it's like these bottom six. It's just like, what, where are you going?
Yeah, I think with Sacramento, so much of it for me is just ownership in the front office. Yeah. Like I just don't trust them at all. Like on paper, like Monk, LaVine, DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis is like a decent amount of talent. And then Dennis Schroeder, Nick Clifford, Devin Carter off the bench is a solid, you know, fine group off the bench. But it's just, I don't trust them to, you know, reconfigure that team to make it fit a little better and
it's just like
make any type of long-term future look great.
They had that Beam team and they probably could or should have won that series against Golden State, and they had a solid team, and I did not like their offseason after that season. I thought it was very clear they had the best offense in the league that year and a pretty poor defense, and my point, and I ended up being right on this, was like, okay, but like, look at their roster. Do you really think that that is the best collection of offensive talent in the league? That team was naturally going to slip offensively. So like, you need to do something, because like, you're going to slip. It was just, to me, plainly obvious. Like the offense was unsustainable. And I'm wrong about a lot of things. I ended up being right that their offense slipped to like 10th and their defense stayed like 20th, and they were just not as good. It was the exact opposite of what the Wolves did after the Wolves had their Pat Bev on the table. They lose to Memphis in that first round series, similar to Sacramento, probably should have or could have won that series. Right. And instead of like going, we had a fun season, like that was an incredibly fun season, just because didn't have large expectations for that Wolves team. And they outperformed that, similar to the Sacramento Beam team. And obviously the Wolves, they had the Jimmy year, but it did feel like somewhat of a breaking the playoff streak type of feeling. For the Wolves as well, not to Sacramento's level, because the Wolves did make the playoffs a few years prior, but and the Wolves make this huge Gobert trade, and the conditions are similar or not similar, because the Wolves have Ant and the Sacramento doesn't have the same type of team, but they just sat on their hands, and I just didn't agree with it. And then obviously you watch the finals, and it's just like, you traded Haliburton, and the consensus at the time was like, why did you trade Haliburton? And I guess maybe I'm playing the result and it was a win-win trade at one point. I still kind of go back to like, if like Haliburton and Fox were unsustainable, I understand like Haliburton had more trade value, but like you pretty clearly picked the wrong guy.
Yep.
But that's why they're 29. All right. Let's go back to the top, just review quick. So our top six: Thunder, Spurs, Nuggets, Rockets, Lakers, Wolves. Wolves being at six was low, but that was my doing, because I didn't pick them at four or five. But I think the Wolves are in a good spot. If you want to give just kind of your last thought about the Wolves offseason, do you agree with my sentiment that they did what they could this offseason? They brought back who they should have. I don't think bringing back Nikhil at the number Atlanta gave him would have been smart, because that obviously would have meant losing one of Randall or Nas. And even if I don't love the fit with Julius, and I do think that they're just one thing short. I think if they could have gotten Durant for, I wanted Randall in the deal over Gobert. To me, that team makes more sense if you're flipping Randall for Durant, but Durant didn't want to be here.
Yep.
And so they never put a real offer on the table. At least that's what Krasinski has been reporting. And I just think you retain all your value. You have an opportunity to make this move, theoretical move, where it's like Randall and one of your young assets and the pick, your 20, whatever pick that gets unlocked next offseason. But for now, you have a solid team. I think they're going to be really good in the regular season. I think they're going to win a butt ton of games, and they might still have this glass ceiling they need to break through in terms of like making the finals, but I think they're in a good spot with what they did. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think they had a really good offseason. I love the Baron J pick. The more I learned about it, I can't say I knew too much about him going into the draft. But after, you know, talking to some people, it's very clear that that the Wolves internally are super high on Berenguer, and I think what we saw in summer league was super impressive. And I think, you know, again, I really liked what Matt Lloyd said on one of the broadcasts, that, you know, the Timberwolves have a young guy that can grow and become a legit player at every single position, which was super important for them, and I think makes a lot of sense now, especially when you consider that, you know, is Dillingham a somewhat reasonable Conley facsimile, and the same for Berenguer and Gobert. I think just the upside of Berenguer, I think Berenguer reminds me a lot of Giannis when Giannis first came over. I think Giannis was definitely a better shooter and maybe didn't have quite as much of the rim protection chops, but I just think how fluid of an athlete he is for someone like Tim Connolly, who is scouted all over the world for the last, you know, two decades plus, to say that for someone who has played the game as little as Berenguer, for him to be like this good this early and grow as much as he has since he really started playing as any player that he's ever seen before is nothing to sneeze at. Tim is not a guy. I've spoken with Tim a decent amount, gotten to know him a little bit. Like, not a guy who speaks in hyperbole at all, really. Mm-hmm. Is pretty down to earth, speaks pretty matter of fact, shoots straight shooter. So I think that speaks volumes. And then, you know, I also am just really intrigued by the potential steps forward that are there, that are, you know, reasonable, you know, kind of juice to squeeze between, you know, any of Rob, TJ, Jalen Clark, but also to get more of Jaden McDaniels. I think we saw a lot of it, especially him playing more in the middle of the floor when, you know, Rudy and Randall were both out. I think that's something you could definitely see more of this coming season. And Dante was like as bad as he possibly could have been last year.
Yep.
And he wasn't, I didn't think he was bad. I'm just saying, like, that's as bad as Dante could be feasibly. Yep. So I'm really excited to see what, you know, he can do with a full off season and, you know, coming back with some continuity with all these guys.
Yeah, I agree. The continuity, I don't think they were like the last 2 months of the season, they were like a 60-win pace basically. I think like they won't win at that pace obviously, but like they're gonna win a lot of games. Dante at his exit interview said something like with the Knicks playing with them for like, they were able to find his spots on the court well, and with just due to the trade and the timing, like the Wolves just never had that for him, and that was one thing during this offseason, like he was excited. I agree with you, like Dante's gonna have a great season. A lot of the Randall Gobert stuff, I think, will figure itself out, at least certainly in a regular season context. Like you mentioned, Berenguer just looks phenomenal. I don't think he'll play much of a factor in this upcoming season, but certainly a really, really nice prospect. I mean, if he's half as good as Giannis, obviously, the Wolves are going to be in pretty darn good shape. And I think Rudy will have a better season. I don't think Mike's as cooked as people believe, but he'll play a lesser role just getting older. They'll lower his minutes, he'll play fewer if any back-to-backs, but yeah, I'm excited about it. But wrapping up our list, it's going to be hard to like declare a winner. I don't even think that was necessarily the point of our little draft here, but I'll certainly keep track of it. I think what the best thing will be to do is to do a pod a year from now similar to this, kind of looking back. We could either redraft, we could analyze this, whatever we want to do. I'll keep this list. I'll copy your list down, my list down, and put an average consensus between the two of us. I mean, just by how statistics works, that consensus will probably perform the best, to be honest. But yeah, any final thoughts, any plugs you got before we wrap it up here?
No, nothing cooking this off season. We'll be back start of the regular season for all of our Lockdown Wolves postcasts. Me and my man Luke Inman, I'll be back for year three, so I'm very excited to be back with him, and very excited to watch the Lynx just continue to stomp the rest of the WNBA en route to their fifth title. This year is going to be great, so I'm very much looking forward to getting to playoff games for the Lynx, mm-hmm. this year, and taking things in more as a fan. But yeah, man, it's just a beautiful game to watch them play basketball, and a wonderful palate cleanser from watching what can be somewhat clunky at times with the Timberwolves. But I think by the time October rolls around, we'll be ready to go for another Wolves season. And again, like you said, I mean, that's just such a clear path to them being really good and just feeling, I think it takes so much stress out of the regular season, just allows you to enjoy it more when a team gets to a point where it's like, just make the playoffs. Who cares what the seeding is? As long as they're not the eighth seed, as long as they're not the play-in, just get in the playoffs. So good on the road. Mm-hmm. Really, the entirety that Finch has been here and Ant's been here. So I think that takes a lot of stress out of it, and you can just kind of have more fun. So I hope that more Timberwolves fans try to adopt some of that throughout the kind of malaise and doldrums of the season. But now I'm super excited. This was a ton of fun. I thought this was great prep for this upcoming season. But yeah, I'm very, very bullish on the Timberwolves next year and beyond, and I'm excited to see more new blood in the rotation. So I appreciate you having me.
For sure. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for staying up late doing all 30 teams, and it'll be fun. I had fun doing this, like you said, and it'll be fun to do the retrospective a year from now and call ourselves stupid for whatever team goes really high, outperform. And the reason why it's like hard to like declare winners, because like the Celtics and Pacers aren't going to have a good season. Well, that's not why I picked them. The Jazz, the Nets and the Wizards won't have a good season. Well, that's not why you picked them. Like, it's going to take time, obviously. So
Nets and Wizards at 10 and 11, respectively. That's going to be very much like League Pass Jack. We'll see how much League Pass Jack enjoyed it looking back. I honestly probably should add the Pelicans higher for that reason, too.
No, I would opposite. Okay. Well, we'll wrap it up there before we get to the 2 hour mark or whatever. But thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Go Lynx and go Wolves.
Ayoo!